Christ. Tonight, Brother Travis did not preach my passage. I'm so thankful, Brother Travis. But he did. He did step the direction I'm going. And tonight will probably be a little bit a heavier message than normal. I know it's a Bible conference. But I hope you have a heart that would be open to whatever God has to say. I would just say this. You know, the best thing you could do is just say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant here." You just give God the opportunity to speak to your heart. I'd like you to take your Bible, turn to two places tonight. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3 and Hosea chapter 11. Genesis chapter 3 and Hosea chapter 11. There is a phrase that has been used in history, divide and conquer. And what that phrase implies is this, that the way to win a people, or the way to keep a people from binding together and overthrowing their oppressor, is to keep them divided. And when you divide them, when you separate them, they are always weaker than they are when they are together. That has happened throughout history. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3 and verse 25 that a house divided against itself cannot stand. When a house becomes divided, when a mother and father become divided in their heart toward one another, that house cannot stand. And many times, division is one of those things that really, it takes and it causes such deep wounds. It causes such severe hurt. Divorce is one of those things. If you've never had to go through a divorce, then I would say praise the Lord for that. If you were raised in a home and your mother and father were there, praise the Lord for that. Because divorce is something that is very hard to endure. Divorce is something that has an effect on people that had no choice in the matter. Divorce is something that causes children to have an increase in their need for prescription drugs, an increase in the frequency of immorality and incarceration. You know, when somebody says, you know, divorce really doesn't make that much of a difference, they just haven't looked at the studies and the statistics of what happens to children after they have to sit back and mom and dad decide we are no longer going to be a union. And it hurts. It causes great hurt. The same thing's true of a church. When you have division in a church, when you have a church split and you have a church division, it hurts deeply inside the heart of its people and the pastor. It hurts the work of the church. It's one of those things that Satan will use. He wants to divide the home. He wants to divide the church because he knows that if it's divided, it can't do the job it was meant to do. The work begins to weaken and the strength begins to weaken. And if all you're doing is just trying to maintain, then you can't reach out in your evangelistic efforts and you can't reach out in ministering to other people because you are just trying to hold it together. And listen, when you come into a church that's had a split, and the tension is there and the hurt is there, and I know where I am, then it is a wound that cuts deeply into a heart. But I'm going to tell you that it does not originate with God. God is not the divider. God is not the divider. But we see in Genesis chapter 3 where this division begins. We're introduced to the serpent in verse number 1, the serpent more subtle than any beast of the field. Do we need to address him as Satan, that old serpent, the accuser of the brethren? The Bible calls him a dragon. He steps out in Genesis 3 and he begins speaking. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." The first thing that Satan did is he divided Eve from Adam. Yeah. Eve is at the tree. I have no idea where Adam may be, but Eve is being spoken to by the devil himself. He is speaking to her. And I said it a little bit, I mentioned it maybe Monday night. I feel like I need to say something again. Listen, If you have a Facebook account, your Facebook account should be public. It should not be something that's hidden from your spouse. It should not be something that's hidden from your parents. And if you have to have an account that's hidden from other people, then you don't need that kind of an account. What happens is someone begins speaking to you alone and they begin saying things to you. Listen, there are so many platforms today to be able to do that. Snapchat is one of them. Someone can say something to someone else and it immediately disappears and it's gone. Which, you know, if it's on the internet, it probably hasn't disappeared very far. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody has to speak to you about something that private, then probably what you need to do is say, I don't need to receive that kind of information from you, because speaking to you privately is a way to lure you away from where you should be in the first place. Satan's speaking to Eve and he divides her from her husband when she partakes of the fruit. She's dead. You say, well, she didn't die immediately. No, it's just a matter of time. She's going to die, but she's dead. And so then what happens is, the man, the Bible says, look at it in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. God now is divided from Adam and Eve because he made the choice. If my wife is going to die and I'm going to be left with the memory of her for all eternity, then I'll go ahead and I'm going to break God's command and I'm going to partake of the fruit and I'm going to die with her, but I'm going to choose her over God. You know, I've noticed something as a pastor in 21 years. I've noticed that when a woman chooses to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ, that most men will never stay the course inside of a church. It is very rare to see a man continue to come to church and bring those children to church. But I've seen, on the other hand, that if that man decides to leave the Lord Jesus Christ, if he decides to walk away from church and walk away from God, I've seen many times that woman will dig her heels in. She'll bring those children to church. She'll keep them under the preaching and keep them in front of God. Just like Mary, just like those women stood beside Jesus at the cross. And hey, it's not easy to do that, but I praise God. Listen, you hear me tonight? I praise God for a woman or a man whose spouse decides to go the wrong direction, that they continue the course and say, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Satan knew that, so he divided now Adam and Eve from God. You would think if God, his creation, the pinnacle of his creation, has taken and been removed from him. Look at verse 24. So he drove out the man. He drove out the man. Adam, you and Eve are going to have to leave this garden. Separation from a place of fellowship with God. And Satan is the mastermind behind it. You would think, driven out of the garden, that that's enough. We don't need to do any more. The battle's been won. But that's not enough. Because in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Verse 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Satan didn't stop dividing Adam and Eve. He didn't stop in dividing Adam and Eve from God. He divided Adam and Eve even from their children. They've laid one to rest in a grave, and the other now has been driven from them. And I am telling you, Satan has been doing the same thing for thousands of years. He's been dividing God's people from him. He's been dividing parents and children. He's been dividing husbands and wives. Are you listening to me? And he's really good at what he does. He's good at dividing and conquering. Better people than you have been divided from God. Better marriages than yours have been separated by Satan. I'm telling you, there are better people than you have been driven from a good church because Satan got a foothold inside of that thing. Listen, better people than you and I have lost their children to the ways of the world and Satan because he is very good at what he does. And you think today that if we would see that in Genesis chapter 3, that it would put us on guard and we would say, okay, Lord, how then can we keep that from happening? Go, if you would, to Hosea chapter 11 and look at God and Satan fighting over Israel. The same thing played out in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 11. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to direct my attention toward the family. And I want to say this. I want to say this to anybody that's here tonight. If you're here tonight, you weren't raised in a Christian home. I'm so glad the Bible says, when mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. I'm glad that God can take somebody out of a broken home and turn them into just as useful a vessel as he can of somebody that was raised in a godly home. And you know, if you weren't raised in a Christian home, I'm sorry, I think it's the best thing that could ever happen. But I would say this, you know what you could determine to do? I may not have been raised in a godly home. My daddy may have been a drunkard. My mother may have been a harlot. But you can determine, I'm going to give that kind of family to my children. By God's grace, I'm going to allow him to do something in my life that I did not get to enjoy. Never had a mother open her Bible with me at a breakfast table. Never had a dad pray with me in an evening around a sofa. Or never had a mother and dad take me to church. Maybe that may be the case. But hey, I got good news for you. There's a God in heaven that's able to give you all the grace that you need to build something you have no idea how to build. He's a good God. Amen. He's a master builder. So, divide and conquer. Satan divides the home. And he here in Hosea 11, let's just read the verses and then go back and look at it. Verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refused to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High. None at all would exalt him. Now watch God's heart. Are you watching? God and Satan in a battle over the whole nation of Israel. Verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shal I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. God looking at Israel, being pulled from him, divided from him, removed from him, that in his heart, he says, my heart is turned within me. My heart is being ripped and being turned and being moved out of its place because of what I see being done to the people that I love. Now I want you to notice how that battle takes place. The Bible says in verse 1, Israel, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. No time to look at all the prophetical references. As they called them, so they went from them. So in verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says in verse 1, God is calling to Israel. And then in verse number 2, as they called them, and the Bible says in Chronicles how that he sent his messengers unto his people, and they would not receive that message. So God is calling to Israel, and then the prophets are being sent, and they're calling to Israel. They're bringing the scripture, they're bringing the Bible, and they're saying, thus saith the Lord, cease from your sin. And God is saying, like in Isaiah chapter 1, the whole body is sick from the top of the head to the
sole of the feet. Come now and let us reason together. Hey, God's calling out to Israel. Israel! Israel!
But the Bible says in verse 2, so they went from them. The prophet's called. The Lord called. He's pleading, turn my direction, move this direction. And the children of Israel said, hey, not only are we not going to turn to you, we are going to walk away from you. And we are going, look at it, verse number 2. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. Every time I read the passage where the children of Israel break off their earrings and give them to Aaron, and he makes this golden calf and he says, these be thy gods that brought thee out of Egypt. Nobody in their right mind believed that. They knew that God Almighty brought them out of Egypt, but they're worshiping this golden calf. How could you turn so quickly? And so Israel's being called, but they walk away from God. And not only they walk away, but they begin worshiping another god. You know what that's like? Hey, man, you know what that's like, sir? That's like watching your wife not only come to your calling, but to walk away from you and get in the arms of another man. That's not only watching your child walk away from your calling, but walk into the arms of some filthy, vile sodomite and enjoy the sin. Heart-wrenching. So God calls to Israel, but Israel will not respond and drives farther away from him. Then look what he says in verse number 3. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arm. Let me just stop right there before I say anything else. You know what the Bible says? When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. As much as God calls to His people, there's always somebody else calling and trying to convince them there's something better on the other side. You know, I would not give my ear to somebody that does not have anything better to offer than what God had to offer. And yet they walk away. Verse 2, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. So God begins to direct them. He's teaching Ephraim. The Bible says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. The Bible says that he was taking them by their arms. He's coming alongside. Listen, they're going the wrong direction. The Lord's calling to them and they're going the wrong direction. And he comes over and he's taking them by their arms. He's trying to turn them the other way. He's trying to pick them up and help them move the other direction. And how do they respond? But they knew not that I healed them. You know, the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, will arise with healing in His wings. I'm so glad that God Almighty knows how to pour balm into the worst places in life. Boy, just like that good Samaritan binding up. Well, here's a man left half dead, naked, in shame. And he goes to him and he begins binding up his wounds and pouring in oil. Sets him on his own beast. Takes him down and says, take care of it. Hey, listen, God is that kind of God. Amen. But many people say, you know, I don't want your help. And Israel said, God, I don't want your help. I don't want your direction. I'm not interested in what you have to say. Had no idea who was helping them. Just like in Hosea, his prostitute wife had no idea who it was that was actually giving her the good things that were supporting her. Hey, you know what? This world doesn't understand. God is good to the just and to the unjust. The sun shineth on both. The rain falls on both. The goodness of God falls upon both. Listen, you may be here tonight and not know God, but God's still been good to you. Amen. Amen. Every good thing we have in our life, listen, it didn't come from Monsanto. It didn't come from IBM. It didn't come from Apple. It certainly didn't come from Uncle Sam. It came from God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. He's the benefactor. All good gifts come from above, from the Father of lights. But they said, don't have anything to do with what you're offering. Then the Bible says in verse 4, I drew them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. He's drawing Israel. Israel has walked off from his calling. Israel has refused his direction and his help. And now he's trying to draw them with cords of a man, with bands of love. He's trying to tie something around them and to bring them back. You know, I find there's a parallel when it comes to our families. But before I say that, the Bible says this, that love covereth all sin. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constraineth us. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. John 3:16, for God so loved. And I know somebody's here tonight saying, well man, you're just preaching love. You ought to be glad that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He loved the unlovely. He loved people that didn't love him back. Oh, what a Savior that would love a vile sinner and someone that would walk away from him and curse his name. Praise the Lord for a God that has such love. Allah knows nothing of love like that. Shiva knows nothing of love like that. Boy, but the Lord Jesus Christ, full of love. Listen, he was pursuing Israel. He was trying to tie something to their heart. Listen, parents, you listen to me just a minute. Let me divert just a second. I believe with all my heart that your children need your love. I believe they want it. You know, every now and then I'll hear somebody that says, you know, my dad never told me that he loved me. And you know, there may be even somebody in here, you know, you might say, well, I don't think it's proper for a man to tell his son that he loves him. I think you're wrong. I think children want to hear that from their parents. You can do that in many ways. You know, three little A's I've used over and over again. Affection, attention, and approval. You know, your children want to be approved by you. When they, listen, when they do a good job, you know what you ought to do? You ought to tell them, hey, that was a good job. Hey, you really done, you did that very well. You get a report card. We crush the heart of our children. Get a report card. It's got all these A's on it and one B. And you know what a parent that has no understanding of the value of love? They say, well, you had a B. Well, how about you had five A's? All right. How about, listen, see this spot that you missed right here on the car that I asked you to wash? How about saying, man, you washed 99% of the car really well. You know what that would do to the heart of your child? They would thrive on that. They want to hear you say, hey, well done. Don't you want to hear him say well done? They want your approval. They want your attention. They want your attention. You know, if you don't give them your attention, they're going to find it with somebody else. Boy, my children so many times, you know, I have one child that's persistent. Very persistent. And, you know, daddy. Daddy, tug, 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 tug. Daddy. And you know what she's going to get? She's going to get my attention. And then she's going to ask me some kind of question. Listen, can you do this? Will you do that? Can we go here? Can we do that? And if you're not careful, it happened to me before I came on this trip. One of my daughters said, Dad, would you play a game with me? She's 12 years old. And I said, okay. We got down on the floor, and my son made him get in the floor, and my other daughter made her get in the floor, and now I got these teenagers in the floor, and my wife, and we're all playing together, and man, we're having a good time, and we're spending time together, and it's not costing us a lot of money, and we're laughing, and we're cutting up with one another, and you know what we're doing? We're trying to promote in their heart, hey, you are valuable enough to me that I'll take time out of my day to sit down with you. I can tell you right now, I'm preaching this message. I've already looked in some eyes of some kids in here. They want that from you. They want that from you. They want your affection. You know, I kiss my daughters goodnight. I don't think that's wrong as a dad. If you do, that's all right. I'm going to kiss them anyway. And I tell them I love you when they go to bed. And I don't kiss my son. If you do, you do. But I want my kids to know I love them. I want to show them affection. I think you ought to listen. It just doesn't work for kids. Your wife needs that from you, sir.
Even, that's right.
She needs your affection. She needs your attention. She needs your approval.
Yes.
Your husband needs that from you, ma'am. He needs the same thing from you. And I'm telling you, if he doesn't get it from you, he's going to get it from somebody else. Satan knows how to put that in the right spot at the right time. And then we wonder what happened. I'll tell you what happened. No affection, no attention, no approval.
Yeah.
Now, I know somebody says, this sounds like a bunch of psychology. No, it's not psychology. It's just practical living. So God's tying strings to Israel's heart. He's trying to do something to bring her back. Do you know the Bible says that she does when he draws her with cords of love? With cords of a man, with bands of love. Look at the end of verse 5. They refused to return. No. Get that off of me. Quit prying into my life. Quit directing me that way. Quit rebuking me. Quit instructing me. I don't want your instruction. I don't want your affection. I don't want your attention. Leave me alone. So he says in verse 8, how shall I give thee up? I love you. How am I going to give you up? How am I going to let you walk away? Israel, I love you. How am I going to deliver you over? My heart is turned within me because I'm drawing and I'm calling and I'm trying to direct you, but you will not listen to what I'm saying. That's the battle that God and Satan are having over the nation of Israel. We've watched Satan battle with God in the Garden of Eden over the home. Now I want to take and I want to apply that for just a moment. I want to make a practical application. Let's just make this thing live just a little bit. You know, I think the same thing's true in this life. Satan's hard at work. Brent, could you come up here just a minute? And what he does is he's very shrewd at what he does. He knows if he can divide somebody from the truth and then he's going to win that battle. We've already heard a little bit about that knife. You just stand right over there. Johnny, would you come up here just a minute? Just set your Bible down. Now what we're going to do, we're going to say, okay, all right, Johnny, right here. I want you to come right here. This is the way. All right, I want you to grab a hold of that pulpit right there, son. This is the way. Walk in it. I want you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to live for Him all of your days. Boy, can I get an amen right there?
Yeah.
I want you to give your... Listen, the sign on the outside of the church says committed to Christ. If you committed 100% wholly all the way in, son, I want you to keep your eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. You love this book that He's given to you. You love this church that He's given you. You stay right here. And as soon as you do that, what Satan's going to do is he's going to take and he's going to try and take an opportunity to divide and to pull that young man away. Just grab into that right there. What he's going to do, he's going to take and he's going to use any means that he can. It doesn't matter if it's music, it doesn't matter if it's friends, it doesn't matter if it's rebellion, it doesn't matter what it is. And remember, he's the strong man. All right, he's the strong man. And except one stronger than he bind him, he's going to do what he wants to do. This young man, doesn't matter how long he's been in church, doesn't matter how much Bible he's learned, it doesn't matter how godly mom and dad are, if Satan decides, listen, I'm going to pursue him, and he starts saying, I'm going to pull him away, it really wouldn't be too hard. Go ahead. He's going to start losing ground. But you know what the Bible says? Somebody's calling. He's calling. Hey, turn this way. Look at what we have to offer you in the world. And boy, you know what God will do? He'll take and he'll do something to counteract that. What he'll do is he'll grab a pastor. Pastor, you stand just over there just a second. He'll give you a good man of God that has a Bible and has a heart for people. And what he'll do is he'll give him a cord. He'll give him a rope. He'll give him something to be able to take and connect to this young man's life and try to keep him from being pulled away. That good pastor, he'll grab a hold and God will say, listen, I want to keep you right there. And that pastor, he'll start preaching that book and he'll start doing something to try to get him to move back the other direction. But he doesn't stop there. He might use a good friend, Benjamin. He might use a good friend to come along. Rather, come on, Benjamin. A good friend, he's going to grab a hold of this same rope and he's going to say, you know what, Johnny, I love you. We love to see you at church. And you know, that music you've been listening to, we're not really certain you need to keep doing that. Why don't you listen to something good? And he's going to take and he's going to grab a hold of that rope and he's going to start pulling the same thing. They're starting to hurt a little bit. Now, you be honest. Tell you, is it starting to hurt a little bit? Look at it. And what we don't get as parents and what you and I, you know what we do? We think, man, it's just no big deal. When you have this kind of war going on in your heart, it hurts a lot. You just forget being 16 years old. You forget being 14 years old. You forget what it's like to have bad friends that come along in your life. You forget about the struggle. It gives a good mom to somebody like this. Try to keep him moving the right direction. Is your mom here, Johnny? You call, where are you at? Come on up here. And that mom, she grabs a hold. Listen, and I believe this. She's calling. She's telling her son, son, I love you. I'm praying for you. I want you to go to church. Just go ahead and grab a hold right there somewhere. And listen, what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep him centered right here. Listen, you young people, you know what I think the devil would have you believe? The devil would have you believe that your parents and your pastor want you to be like them. I don't believe that's right. I think your pastor, your parents, and good people want you to stay centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they want you to be. It's not that they want you to dress like them and look like them and like the same you. They just want you to stay right in the center of God's will. And so they tighten up that pull. And listen, I'm telling you, that battle gets rough. It gets rough. Jacob, bad friend comes along. Come on, Jacob. No, don't grab the rope. No, Satan's got the rope. And what he does, he says, he puts his arm around him. He says, why don't you just come on this way, man? We can have a lot of fun, a little bit older. Hey, listen, you don't want to be with all those people anyway. Hurting a little bit, isn't it? Give a little slack. And so he starts moving in this direction. Go ahead, Jake. Start moving. He starts winning. And listen, you know the truth is, some of you have teenagers right now, and that's what's happening in their life. Isn't it funny how you're going to have all the plans and everything worked out when they're 3, 4, and 5 years old, but when they get to be 17 years old, it's not that easy anymore. And that good friend, that older guy, starts showing him some stuff on Facebook, starts showing him stuff on the internet. He starts talking to him, getting him over to his house, and we're losing ground. So you know what the Lord did? The Lord did say, I'm going to direct him. So mom and a good friend are holding, and pastor now, he comes over and he takes that good book, and what he does, he tries to come next to him. Come on, Brother Tim. He takes that good book and he gets up next to him and he says, well, wait a minute, Johnny. He starts taking him by the arm and saying, listen, you need to come back this way. Go ahead, keep a hold, Jacob. And now he's going to move him back the other direction. Son, you need to come this way. And he's using the Bible to do it. And then you know what he does? Maybe he says, you know what, pastor? You're not cool. Get away from me. Get the Bible to mom. Give the Bible to mom. Go ahead, get back on the road, brother. And then mom says, you know what? I'm so burdened about my son. Come on, sis. I'm so burdened about my son. I start seeing things in his life, music in his life, friends in his life. He has no pulse. Boy, you listen to me. There are so many young people that come to church that have no spiritual pulse. They never go to the altar. The preaching doesn't move them. Nothing moves them. There's no spiritual pulse. If that's true of your children, you better get desperate. Boy, mom, she comes along and, man, she starts loving on that boy. And she says, no, you just got to come back this way. And you know what I did to my mom? I said, mom, leave me alone. I don't want to hear what you got to say, mom. I broke my mother's heart. All she wanted for me to do was to grow up and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. She wanted a preacher. You know what I find happens too this time? Go ahead, mom, hold on that rope. Here's what a lot of people do. Mom can't win that way, so go ahead, Jake, start moving that way. So mom says, let's move this way. Then preacher, let's move this way. You know, as a preacher, go ahead, keep pulling there, strong man. As they move this way, is that helping Johnny at all?
No.
Really, what he's doing is he's getting closer to Satan, isn't he? And then the church is moving. And boy, aren't we living right there today? the pastor says, well, we got to compromise our standards, and you know, we don't need all that strong preaching, and we need to branch out and have a little bit more understanding in our music and in our dress, and we just keep. But you know what? You're not helping. All you're doing is prolonging destruction. So we just move. But you don't see what sometimes happens. Sometimes happens. What he does, he can do this. He can reach up. Is that hurt? John, has it still hurt? I'd say, well, let's just do this. How about just this? If you'll just grab right here with that. Give me that hand right there. Just take it. All right, just. All right, now. Just pull it over your head. Throw it down. Feels better, doesn't it? Go ahead. Y'all go ahead. It's easy now. Does that hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. But you know what we know? We know that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And our young people, they get so caught up in things and their life hurts, and what they want is to get free of the pressure and free of the stress and free of the strain. And they think about, just go this direction, I'll be all right. But that's wrong. You're being promised liberty that's going to destroy your life. You're going to end up with marks on you can't get off. You're going to end up with scars on you that you'll never be able to undo. You're going to have things happen to you. There are going to be marks. There are going to be things that Satan puts in your mind. You'll never be able to get out, may not be able to undo. And then you know what? Every now and then somebody that's got a little bit of guts about them, that good friend, he'll take a risk. He'll come back over. He'll grab that thing. He'll come up next to his friend. He'll say, man, listen, I love you, man. You've been out of church for a while. I've been watching what's going on. He'll start talking to him, saying, listen, you know, your life, you really, it's going the wrong direction. He'll get him hooked back in. He'll say, why don't you just come back this way? And I've been here too. He says, you know, I'm done with you for a little while. And then he'll come back in. Go ahead, Benjamin, step on over there. And then the struggle starts again. And you're going back and forth. And really, all you want to do is get them Christ-centered. And the struggle goes back and forth. And listen, it gets rough. It gets hard. And I've seen this happen. Pastor says after a while, you know what he says? I'm done. He lets go of the rope. I can't take it anymore. I don't know what to do for this young man anymore. I've tried everything I know to do. I've talked to him. I've prayed for him. And he just steps off the scene. And then that young man that's a good friend, he's been struggling, it's been hard, and the guy says, look, I just don't know about it. I'm tired of hearing all the stuff about church. I don't know if I believe. And he gets tired of it, and he finally walks off. And many times what that leaves is a little mother. Go ahead, you guys start pulling. You gonna let him go? You gonna let him go? You gonna pull? Yeah. Hey. You laughing. She's pulling now, though. You know what's true of many ladies? 2 o'clock in the morning, tears running down their face. Begging God, don't let him go. Don't let him go. I love you, son. I used to get a letter from my mother. Boy, I was so deep in sin, messed up life. I'd get a letter from my mother at Baylor University, and I'd open that letter up. It always had $3 $1 bills in it. And it never had any preaching in it, never said anything in it, but it always get. Now, I hated to get to the end of the letter. I hated to get them. Because at the end of the 3-page letter, at the bottom of it, it would say this, and just remember, son, you'll never truly be happy until you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'd just be a dagger just cut down in my heart. My brother told the Lord one day, he said, God, I'll never eat another bite of food on Wednesdays until you bring Joel back home. Yeah. It's just somebody grabbing hold of the rope. Because the battle's real. The fight is real. Yeah. But now let me ask you a question. If Pastor gets back on that rope and Benjamin gets back on that rope, what if the Lord Jesus Christ got on the other side of that rope? Yeah. What if he got over here and he just decided, I tell you what, boy, your mommy's not letting go, but she's wrapped in hard and tight. And he decided, I'm going to pull. And all of a sudden, start losing ground on that side. And the friend starts calling and can't get anything done. And finally, you know what that young man does? I'm tired. I'm tired of the devil having his way in my life. I'm sick and tired of listening to him. All he's ever done is cost me. It's been one thing after another. And now grab up there right there. You want to be real free? Pull that thing. Pull that thing. Walk up that pulpit. And that's where we want him to be. It's really just where we want him to be. Satan wants to divide him. He wants to conquer him. And you're looking up here and you're looking at Johnny, but you know what you need to do? You need to look at your own children. You need to look at your own marriage. Thank you. You can go sit down. And you know what I think you ought to do? Yeah, I know, but let's get that one off too. Well, Mom and Dad, good night. Thank you, Mom. You know what you need to do? You look there in Hosea. Would you look? We're almost finished. Just look there in Hosea. The Bible says there in verse number 7, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. You know, I tell you tonight as a mom and dad, you know what you need to do? You need to bend your heart toward your children. You need to bend your heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you look there in chapter 14, verse number 1? O Israel, look what it says. Return unto the Lord thy God. O Israel. Listen, if there's a young person here tonight and you don't understand the struggle that's been going on, you got a mom and dad that love you, you've got a pastor that loves you, you've got friends that love you. You know, I know that's a hard battle going on, but you need to recognize who really loves you. And I'm going to tell you, the world doesn't love you, and the devil doesn't love you. You go to jail, your friends in the world are not going to come get you out of jail. They're going to let you stay there. You get in trouble, they're going to let you deal with the trouble on your own. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a pastor that loves you. Those are the people you need to recognize who really does love you. And you need to turn your heart toward them. You need to take and you need to turn your heart toward them. And tonight it might be good. I really don't even know how to give an invitation really altogether. It might be good for somebody in this service right now. Just get up where you are and get on that altar and say, God, I'm returning tonight. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the struggle. I want to be free. I want there to be somebody while I'm preaching, just get up and do that. Any young man, young lady, anybody like that tonight? Amen. That's good. I don't know if I were you. If I were you. And my child was at an altar. There's no way I'd stay in my pew. I'd run to that altar. I'd put my arms around them. I'd tell them, I'm behind you. I'm for you. I love you. I'm not letting go of you. You know, it might be good tonight. You know, I know this church has been through a hard time. It might be good for you to go and tell somebody else, hey, maybe there's been somebody that's just stayed on you and called you and helped you and loved you and done something for you and your family. Maybe your pastor has done so much for you. Maybe it'd be good tonight as you as a mom and dad go to your child and say, look, I love you. I'm hanging on to you. I'm not going to let go of you. That might be the thing it'd be good for you to do tonight. I'm going to tell you what I know. I know when God comes into a place, I wouldn't miss God tonight. I wouldn't miss God tonight. God help you. God can help you stand when you can't stand on your own. Why don't we go ahead, Brother Tim, you go ahead and take the invitation. Lord, thank you for the day that we've been able to enjoy here. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And Lord, thank you so much for a mom that decided she'd never let go. Thank you, Lord, that you've got open arms and, God, that when we do finally return, that you can take something so filthy and so vile and wash it off, and Lord, and give it a right mind and put it back into your family. I pray there'd be some parents tonight, Lord. They'd get a hold of what they've heard and what they've seen.
that the fight is real and the battle is real and the stakes are high. And Lord, there needs to be some action on their part, some affection and attention. There needs to be some of instruction given, taken by the arms. Lord, please, I pray, do your work in Jesus' name.